Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the Legit Boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it to make sure you're always getting your wonderful daily Going In Raw content.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm acting like I'm constipated. I don't know where I was going with that one. Anyways, speaking of Going In Raw content, you can also find it wherever fine podcasts can be found, including Spotify, Google Heart Radio. I like that one. Google Play and iHeart Radio, the iOS podcast app, and of course CastBox. We have a partnership with CastBox. We always encourage you to check it out if you want a really easy, free way to support Going In Raw, this show. Hop on your little phone, right?
Yeah.
Download the CastBox app.
Well, you may do it right now.
Have you not done it?
No, I've been using CastBox for months.
Yeah, I think we were both using CastBox before our partnership even.
Yeah, it may have been.
I think so.
Yeah.
And
definitely for those months, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it's actually a really good app. And hit subscribe to the Going In Raw podcast. Boom, you're helping Going In Raw.
Yep.
Free and easy.
Yep.
And it's a fantastic app.
Yep.
We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steve and Larson. It's a great way to support Going In Raw financially. You kick us some money and we kick you goods and services.
That's right.
The way capitalism works.
Correct.
Tender funds for stuff. I don't know.
Goods for services.
There you go.
No. Money's for goods and services.
Yeah, not
goods for services. That's bartering.
That's bartering. Yeah, we don't barter.
No.
I mean, there have been times when people have sent us stuff, and I was like, all right, I'll kick you a care package or something. Like Bam made us all those great little bead artworks.
Yeah.
Gave her a care package. Why not? She's been a longtime friendo.
Correct.
Anyways.
It's true.
We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goingin raw. Plenty great designs. Three many great designs there, Larson.
Three many, yes.
Yeah, three many.
I don't know why I just got like really congested.
I don't know why much. I decided to wear a shirt, a flannel, that's literally the same color design scheme as our backdrop.
You're trying to blend in.
I am. Look, I'm just a head. I'm just a big fat head.
Do you know what size hat you wear?
Three many.
Three many?
It's three many, dude. I have a big... You always keep saying your head is big. I think mine is bigger than yours.
I don't know.
Yours,
that's
man.
Why I asked what size hat you wore, because that's a good way to tell. I think I'm 7 3/4.
Oh, I have no idea what I am. Which I always have
large.
To pick the one that's big.
Yeah, same here.
If it's an XL, if it's the true, you know, it's like LXL or whatever.
No, but that's why I ask you about fitted caps. They come in sizes.
I have no idea.
All right, well, the next time we go to a baseball game, we'll find out.
I guarantee you, mine is bigger than yours.
We'll see.
Moving on, we're going to talk about wrestling news, because that's what we do here on the show, talk about wrestling news.
Correct.
Unfortunately, our first story is a rest in peace bit with Bruno Sammartino, arguably the biggest name in the long history of professional wrestling.
Yes.
I mean, there are many arguments to be made about several people in the history of pro wrestling, but Bruno is definitely up there in terms of, you know, obviously the biggest thing to point at is his title reigns.
The first one was nearly 8 years, which WWE.com states is the longest in history for any professional wrestling organization.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to independently verify that. But
that's popularly known, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
So imagine Okada's dominant title reign, and then multiply that by four. And then that's roughly the length of Sammartino's first title reign. The second time he had the belt, he had it for about 3 years.
3 years. He was only pinned. He only lost twice in his career, each losing the world title.
And the first time he lost it, just because he needed a break.
And the second time he lost it, it was because his neck was bugging him. And they begged him to keep it on for another year. He was money.
Yeah.
Big draw.
Yeah.
from the moment he started wrestling. Say what you will, but you know, a lot of people give the Wrestling Observer himself all sorts of crap, mainly over his star reviews and his predilection towards or his perceived predilection towards all things Japan. I think it's silly to come at a guy and say, oh, you like this match more than another match by a quarter of a star. That's silly and
it
stupid.
It is silly, but you know what we must all, I think, recognize Meltzer's strength for sure is as the preeminent wrestling historian of our day.
His Wrestling Observer newsletter, especially when it comes to historical documentation, he has a terrific and very extensive write-up on Bruno Sammartino. He had a personal relationship with Bruno Sammartino, knew him going back ages. And it is absolutely a fascinating read, and we can't really do it justice like just reading it. Just read it.
No, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, by all means, if you haven't read it yet, please do so.
And if you're not a subscriber, I would absolutely suggest, here's a plug for you. You know, I think you shook Dave Meltzer's hand once at a PWG show. I saw him and I just was like, oh, cool, it's Dave Meltzer. I didn't say anything. But so we're not like plugging him or anything, but his Observer is a weekly for us, obviously in the business we're in, is a must read. But even as a wrestling fan, like I would still check it out even if I wasn't doing this for a living. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with like the historical context that he can put, giving a historical rundown on things, but placing current events in a historical context. You know, a lot of people get mad at him because he doesn't like all the, you know, if they get mad, I'll never forget. There was one Twitter exchange with a plethora of fans, you know, taking him to task over saying HBK wasn't a big draw. Well, factually speaking, when you look at the historical context of the last 100 years of pro wrestling, and yes, pro wrestling has been around for a very long time. That's factually probably correct.
Yeah.
You know, these things can be measured. So the man knows what he's talking about. You may not always agree with, you know, his opinion on the current state of wrestling or particular matches or whatever, and that's okay. It's okay to have different opinions.
Yes.
His voice is just kind of known as an authority, so more people give more weight to his opinion.
Yeah.
That being said, his, you know, write-up on Bruno Sammartino this week is absolutely a must-read. It's fantastic. I learned a lot from reading it. And some of the things that were more interesting to me that fits him, Bruno, that is, a bit more accurately in the pantheon of wrestling greats has to do with his status as a draw versus Hogan versus Austin, and Bruno's assertion anyways, that the fact that he was doing the numbers he was doing, running more shows per market than Hogan and Austin, was very interesting to me. The idea that he could sell out 3 shows in the same market, you know, in 3 consecutive days or within a month or whatever it was. There's a lot of interesting evidence in there. And, you know, granted, the further time goes on, you know, during his heyday of the 60s and 70s, and he retired, I think, and his last match was like 87. Was in 87.
He initially retired in 81, yeah.
Right, exactly. He had like a super hot feud with his protege, Larry Zbyszko.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously the competition for entertainment, you know, has just grown exponentially since the 1960s, 1950s, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, who can say, you know, who would have been the bigger draw, you know, during this decade or that decade or that decade. But it is very interesting to read the impact. One thing I noticed, like, in a major way was the number of people who sort of crossover celebrities, I guess you can call it, celebrities who you don't really associate with wrestling necessarily, going to Twitter and giving their thoughts on Bruno Sammartino. I know Will Sasso, I've understood. I think he was on, he's been on Raw before. So I know that he's a wrestling fan, but it's not like he's always chiming in about wrestling.
Yeah.
He had some really interesting things to say about his time growing up, because I think he grew up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible seeing various institutions in the city of Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers issued a statement. The mayor did. You know, and obviously like Corey Graves, he's from Pittsburgh. He mentioned extensively how that connection with the city of Pittsburgh was very important to him in relation to Bruno.
Yeah. So it's just been interesting to see, you know, so many people, and a lot of them sort of, I was like, oh wow, I had no idea this person would be into Bruno Sammartino. Like I had no idea this particular celebrity was into wrestling. So it has been kind of interesting to get kind of an anecdotal, you know, sense of his impact, you know, given that he hasn't been, you know, in the wrestling business as a relevant wrestler for 40 years now, or 30 years, or whatever it's been. 1981, that's almost 40 years. Yeah. Almost 40 years now.
37 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's obviously sad. He was 82 years old. He had been, I guess, in the hospital for a little while now. For, I think, a couple of months, he's been sick. And so, according to the newsletter, anyways. And, you know, his parents both lived into their 90s. Meltzer mentioned this. His parents, both, like, his mom died when she was 97. I think Bruno is 54, if I remember correctly. And his dad, I think, died at 93. So, but, you know, living as long as he has in the pro wrestling business, it's just, you know, I mean, 80.
Wrestling 8 matches a week.
Look, I'll be totally happy if I live to 82.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'll be totally psyched about that. I hope to never die, actually, because I plan on getting robotic implants, brain rejuvenation, all that kind of stuff. So
probably
I'm
not going to happen, Steve.
Probably not going to die.
Don't get your hopes up.
You know, you take your way, I'll take my way. That being said, you know, I mean, if a guy lives to 82 instead of 92, I still think that's a pretty damn good run.
And he's had a heck of a life going back to his childhood.
His
story is incredible.
It really is.
Absolutely incredible.
JBL tweeted out that his Legends with JBL interview was one of his favorites because of, you know, the storytelling. And it really is. It was my favorite episode of that. I really wish they'd bring it back. JBL was many things. A fantastic interviewer is absolutely one of them. And so that's definitely worth a check out. I want to check out Colt Cabana made his Bruno interview free.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely want to check that out because I've always liked Colt Cabana's podcast. I don't always get to listen to it. And then I would like to go back and listen to some of the Observer interviews with Sammartino. Because his story is absolutely a fascinating one. He's got some interesting things to say about Hulk Hogan. He's had some interesting things to say about Hulk Hogan over the years, too.
Yes.
Which is interesting because his last match in 1987
he tagged with Hogan. Yeah.
He tagged with Hogan, and apparently it's sort of a sore subject for him. Apparently Hogan would never really listen to Sammartino when he was trying to smarten him up.
Yep.
So, that's very sad. And what a life. What a career. What an individual, Bruno Sammartino. Let's talk now. Let's get into some exciting talk, Larson. This is hot.
What's more
scandalous, controversial,
exciting than television rights, negotiations, and contracts? So we reported a while back about a site, can't remember what it's called because I'd never heard of it before, reporting that ESPN and NBC were aiming to team up to get themselves the UFC television broadcast rights. Well, now this week, Variety is reporting that ESPN and Fox are the two networks planning to secure UFC rights for themselves, saying, quote, the two companies have recently proposed to split the UFC TV package in a move that would bring as many as 15 fight events to new subscription streaming service ESPN+. The report also adds that ESPN would fork over somewhere between $120 and $180 million per year in the deal, while Fox would pay around $200 million. So UFC was looking for, what, $400? I guess if you max out ESPN's contribution, that's pushing $400 million.
Yeah, no, that's a good deal.
The interesting thing, though, is, and we've talked about it several times in the past, about WWE and Fox seemingly circling each other and with the idea, or the rumors leading us to believe the idea would be that Raw may air on Fox broadcast television, and then SmackDown on Fox Sports 1.
Right.
And I don't necessarily know if UFC staying on Fox would preclude any of that from happening.
Right.
But given the demand for live sporting content on broadcast and cable television, but you would have to think that Fox, well, maybe not. Maybe Fox doesn't have a budget. They just sold part of their assets to Disney for, what, billions of dollars?
Well, I also wonder if not just do they have a budget, but if they're... We have no idea if part of their plan was, hey, let's team with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if it maybe at the outset wasn't, and they were willing to spend like $300 million,
mm-hmm.
then there's maybe $100 million. The concept of, I mean, I know like, so NFL, obviously, they you know, technically, they get all their television rights from a variety of competitors, basically.
Yeah,
it runs on CBS and Fox and NBC on Sunday night, and then ESPN Monday nights.
And then they have their own network. Sometimes.
Exactly. And so, I mean, UFC, I guess, is big enough at this point, in demand enough at this point to warrant that. Is the WWE? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would they? I don't know if because they're, I don't know if they would dole out to, if somebody could team up to get WWE
like Fox
programming.
Gets Raw, and then maybe they do a deal where it's, I doubt it would happen, but I don't know why Fox and NBC would ever agree to team up with anything. But anyways.
But they have, they both have, I don't know,
I was gonna
have
say,
no idea. But
Raw goes to Fox on Monday, and then SmackDown stays on USA on Tuesdays.
Right,
like
exactly.
That.
I mean, as opposed to Fox and NBC like teaming up, it'd be WWE saying, "Okay, well, you get this programming, you get that."
But we were hearing about the reformation of the XFL and how they were kind of using that as kind of to add extra value to whatever TV deal they were maybe looking to secure.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to secure their own broadcast rights for the XFL on their own or just use it as a sweetener to get a better deal for the wrestling content.
Right.
Or kind of add that as a rider to that deal just to make sure that an XFL TV deal is attached to whatever contract they get next. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just... if Fox was the goal for that, they already have NFL content on Fox. I don't know if there's some exclusivity situation there. I have zero idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think ABC doesn't have Monday Night Football anymore, but of course ABC and ESPN are both owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they would be in the market for that, for XFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if the XFL as an X factor, is going to complicate things at all. If it's part of the deal or if it's a standalone thing, I have no idea.
I guess the main thing that I guess the main driving point of the story is, we had heard we had read that Fox was interested in WWE, possibly if they didn't get UFC, or maybe even if they did get UFC, now that they've spent a huge chunk of money on UFC.
Well, it hasn't been confirmed yet. This is still just rumored.
But if it does happen, if it does actually come to pass, does that mean, you know, they're now kind of frozen out because they don't have as much money as they possibly did before? Or would they just be like, hey, look, we've got all sorts of money.
Yeah, give it all to us, yes.
Exactly. So are they still suitors or not? If I'll put it this way, if UFC, if the rumor was, and if it was true that the UFC had been snatched up by NBC and ESPN or whatever, two other people that aren't Fox, we would probably, that the inclination would be, wow, Fox now that UFC's out of it, now they can, you know, they're going to need something in that spot.
And also now, if this deal is true, does that lessen WWE's leverage in negotiating with whatever parties may be interested, whether that be Fox or USA or whomever else?
Right, exactly. So a lot of questions, still no answers, but the pieces are very slowly. But it's 20, so they've got like the right of first refusal with NBC USA, NBC Universal.
They get a window of negotiating right or negotiating period. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the fact I would think this though, the fact that ESPN, if this is true, ESPN and Fox, the fact that they're together coming up with almost $400 million,
potentially,
which was at the very high end of what the expectations were, and certainly around what UFC wanted.
That bodes well for WWE's.
I would think that
price
would bode well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah. So interesting stuff. Stuff to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyways, moving
next
on.
Next. So, All In's coming up. Are we All In, Steve?
Oh, man, we're so All In.
So
what's,
All In.
What's more than being All In?
What's more than all?
All Inner.
Okay.
Three many in.
All right. Three many in we are. Anyways, Cody Rhodes announced via his Instagram That there's going to be
an Instagram now. He made an Instagram just to do
this. Announcing there will be an all-in press conference on May 13th, where they'll apparently be announcing information about tickets. So you can assume a sale date. The StarCast convention that's happening in conjunction with All In and more. And this press conference is going to be streaming live on Facebook and Twitch.
Ooh, Twitch.
So we should watch that.
Absolutely.
In other All In news, it seems like the Young Bucks may be all out their popular YouTube series Being the Elite, because during the interview with the Sporting News, Nick Jackson said, quote, "I think it's poetic if we did end it at 100 episodes, but everybody else says we shouldn't."
Yeah. No.
His brother, Matt, added, "We're like, man, 100 episodes, we can end it when it's the hottest. It almost feels like we should end it. It's kind of undecided."
No, it isn't.
"But I feel like we'd be crazy not to bring it back at some point.
It's become
such a popular tool for us now."
Come on, man. Get out of here with this. The Young Bucks are all about making those dollar bills.
No, here's the most important part of this interview. Later on, I guess Sporting News asked about Daniel Bryan and CM Punk being involved at All In. And they said, yeah, Daniel Bryan would be cool, but obviously he's got cleared. But as far as CM Punk, this is what Matt Jackson had to say. Quote, "I will say this. I text message Punk on a weekly basis. We're good friends. We talk wrestling. He still loves wrestling. Of course
Whoa.
He does. We're pro wrestlers. That's what we do. Even when you quit or retire or whatever, it's still in your blood. Punk's going to be it all in.
Punk's going to be it all in. Come
Punk's
going to
be it all
give
in.
Give me a break.
He's going to be Barry the Drug-Free Bear. He's going to take that head off. He's going to cost Cody the match in the main event, helping Kenny Omega win, and Bullet Club will be Kenny's again. That's what's going to happen, Steve.
They're not going to settle this Cody Bullet Club stuff at all in. New Japan's not going to let him do that. Although I guess they're letting him have Okada. Yeah.
They're going to have the
He's
match.
He's definitely going to be there, because here's the thing.
They had the match at Supercard of Honor, the Ring of Honor show. They're going to have a match at a New Japan show, and then All In's going to be the blow off.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt, I don't think they're the type to be assholes. And when you say, I text message Punk on a weekly basis, we know that CM, he wouldn't, if CM Punk wasn't cool with who is this, Nick or Matt?
Matt.
With Matt saying that, Matt wouldn't have said
exactly.
It. So it's kind of a tell.
Yep.
He still loves wrestling. Of course he does. We're pro wrestlers. That's what we do.
He's so going to be there.
That's going to be crazy. And here's the thing. So in the Observer again this week, they had some numbers about some Ring of Honor shows and some New Japan shows. New Japan's super hot, right? Super duper hot. But they're not bulletproof.
Yeah.
That's not a bad pun on Bullet Club.
I didn't take it as such.
You know, some of their shows haven't been selling out when they've been kind of running in the same market over and over again. So All In, they kind of need an extra little something, whether it's Jericho or obviously can't be now Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
It needs a little bit something more than what we've seen in Ring of Honor and New Japan lately.
Yes.
Something that we haven't seen.
CM Punk.
And that thing might just be CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Probably going to be CM Punk.
But here's the thing. I don't think they're going to announce that he's going to be there in advance. They just got to tease it.
They have to tease it in the precise way.
Tease it.
They have to tease it in a way that everybody's going to be like, oh, man, he's so going to be there. Did you hear he's going to be? He's going to be there. So, yeah, I think he's probably going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as ending Being the Elite, number one, they can't, because we're about to start doing Ring of Honor New Japan shows.
Yeah,
and part of that is going to be reviewing Being the Elite.
That wouldn't be fortuitous for
No,
us.
We would need that. We need Being the Elite to come back for us to do that.
Yeah, it's a major part of our future plan.
It's a major part of our future programming.
Potentially.
Number two, Nick Jackson was gifted that lovely MacBook Pro from, I believe, Matt and his wife or whomever, I forget.
To edit.
To edit the show. What is he going to do with that now? He's just going to sit there and do nothing.
Maybe he's got other creative ideas he's going
to
pursue.
He doesn't. Oh, he's going to start doing filmmaking stuff?
Maybe.
iPhone filmmaking?
Yeah, man, that's a thing now.
He needs to mic up. He needs to get some audio equipment. Audio is everything. You can have visuals that look like complete and utter trash. If you have a microphone, like a decent mic,
it goes
audio
a long way.
Setup. Oh, anybody who wants like advice on like podcasting, you could be filming on a used toilet paper. If you have good microphone setups,
it goes a
good.
Long way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You're good. All those flipping Dogma 95 movies that were shot on like crap video with like no lighting.
But they had great mics.
They all had great mics.
Yep. All had great mics, guaranteed.
So they're
that.
Real films when you do that. It's honestly, it's a real film if you have mics.
Well, good mics.
Good mics.
Not just any mics.
Yeah, you can't just have any mics.
Yeah, competent audio.
I mean, this does have a mic.
Yeah, but it's not the best.
It's not the best.
And you can't have a you can't boom off that.
Although I did used to record Machinima voiceovers with an iPhone before.
I know.
I did it in a parking lot. Me and Lacey were like midtown, and then you said, "Hey, can I get a pickup for this?" I was like, "Man, this piece of." It's like, Lacey, hold on, give me 10 seconds. This week, Master Chief decides to blah, 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 in the game.
And look where it got us.
And look where it got us, exactly. Anyways, also in the news.
Also in the news. How long is Brock Lesnar going to be around, Steve?
Two matches.
Well, maybe. Anyways, this is coming from a Twitter account, PW Stream, per source.
Ooh, stream.
Lesnar's new deal with WWE is not a fixed contract. He'll be paid per appearance when WWE needs him. The same deal has also been set in place by the UFC, which therefore keeps all three parties happy.
Nice.
So it sounds like WWE took inspiration from Impact when negotiating Brock's new deal. We'll call you when we need you, and we'll pay you per appearance.
Why do you get that little shit smile on your face when you say the word Impact?
Impact.
That's very rude. Stay tuned for, hey, all you patrons, a brand new non-news is coming up.
Essentially Impact news.
And it's all in Impact news.
A little more detail on this from the newsletter. This is what it has to say. Quote, while there are rumors going around of a Lesnar versus Lashley match right now, there are no plans for it. If Lesnar is really leaving, he can probably get two losses from him. You could probably get two losses from him. The title loss and hopefully one more to build someone. Strowman. I don't think the person that should be over 40 or part-timer because it's then of limited benefit.
Oh, like, I don't think the person that should go to should be over 40 or a part-timer because it's of limited benefit.
Yeah, yeah. Like maybe just Reigns, who he pretty much has to lose to at some point.
You'd think.
And Strowman.
Right, you'd think.
Yeah, I know. If they've even got him for enough dates to pull both off.
So the general consensus does seem to be that this is the Brock Lesnar experiment is coming to an end. It feels like we've only got a couple more matches of his to deal with.
I'm going to celebrate by doing this thing. I'm going to rock my chair over here.
Yeah, be careful over there. It'd be kind of funny.
So, yeah, if Brock drops that title at largest Royal Rumble, fine. Reigns is cool. Put it on him. Brock shows up for SummerSlam Mania in the next 4 years to fight another part-timer. Perfect. That's the perfect scenario. That's what they should use Brock for this whole time.
Wait, at Rumble and then what are you speculating?
No,
what
I said SummerSlam Mania.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it's speculating here completely. Two matches for certain, and then if they want additional matches, this is the price.
Well, I don't feel like this is necessarily two matches for certain. This is just Meltzer speculating that most they can have him lose twice on his way out the door.
All right.
It's not two matches. It's just
out the door
before he goes and fights the winner of the heavyweight title match coming up.
Reigns at the greatest Rumble, at the largest Rumble, and then Strowman at Backlash.
Summer
Raw after the largest Rumble.
At a house show.
Yeah. Yeah, even better.
I don't know, Des Moines,
Golden
Iowa.
One Center.
Oh, that'd be cool. We could go to that one.
Or at the Memorial Auditorium.
There you go.
A house show there. Untelevised, and they have you check your cell phones at the door.
At the Matadome on the campus of Cal State University, Northridge.
I would go there. I would too.
That's a historical event at a venue that I've been to many times.
Well, it's a historical venue because we graduated from there.
Yeah.
Not the Matadome from Cal State Northridge.
But anyways, I hope the speculation on Meltzer's part is accurate because I want to see Strowman get a W over Lesnar. A win over Lesnar would be huge for Braun Strowman.
Yeah, me as well. I'd love to see that. Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Also in the news, so did you hear, Steve? Did you hear that Rusev is about to get buried?
Yeah, this was weird.
This is a weird story. So it was originally
announced. Because nobody seems to know the story here.
Well, bodyslam.net seems to have an idea. So first it was announced that Rusev would be taking on The Undertaker in a casket match.
I love
match.
When I read the notes during the show.
Yeah, a casket match at a largest Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
And then, I don't know, like late last week or something, early this week,
right.
It was announced, nope, not going to happen. Where are you going? Oh, gosh.
What?
You had to get up in the middle of the show to get your darn glasses.
Hold on a second. I haven't read these notes here.
There's no lenses in those.
The reason WWE removed Rusev from the match initially was that apparently his interview with TMZ rubbed somebody in the office the wrong way. WWE is said to be very sensitive when it comes to potentially offending any of their old-timers.
Yeah, this is from BodySlam.net.
Wait, what interview?
He did an interview with TMZ, he and Lana. He's saying he was going to crush The Undertaker.
Okay.
Anyways.
I'm reading this.
Sorry.
You're reading everything. It's annoying. WWE is said to be very sensitive when it comes to
that part.
Potentially offending any of their old-timers, and we're concerned that Rusev's comments might have offended The Undertaker after seeing the reaction from his wife.
She tweeted something.
What did she... Michelle McCool? What did she tweet?
She said, I had to watch this to make sure he really said crush his old ass. I think that's what she said. It was something along those lines. Continuing.
Stay out of
quote, it. Quote, once Debbie realized that The Undertaker was not offended by anything Rusev had said, the decision was made to once again put him back into the match. Maybe they should have checked on that before pulling Rusev from the match. Like, give a call to old Mark and say, Mark.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard, but Rusev...
Who are you being right now?
Anonymous WWE official.
Okay.
Middle management right here. Did you find the tweet?
I'm looking at it. I'm looking for it, sorry.
All right. We continue this conversation then. It was something like what I mentioned.
I wonder if she...
deleted it?
Yeah, I wonder.
Here, I could probably find it somewhere. It might be on this.
Oh, here we go. I had to listen to see if crush his old ass was actually said. Guess some people are smarter than others. Cool glasses, cool eye, cool sunglasses emoji, rolled eye emoji, and then black heart emoji. Michelle.
Anyways, we continue this
what
conversation.
What did I tell you about staying off Twitter?
Mark.
Mark. Yeah, hello.
Mark. Hi. This
hello.
Is so and so from WWE.
Hold on a second. Who is this?
It's Mark. It's just me. It's John Cena.
Oh, John.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. We had a great little moment there at WrestleMania. I can't wait to see that through to the bitter end.
Me too, Mark.
How can I help you today,
sorry,
John?
Mark. I don't have much time. I'm going through a bit of a rough time right now. But anyways, I don't know if you heard, but Vince, talk to me. I want me to talk to you.
Michelle!
About?
It's John.
Mark.
What?
Hello?
There is an interview with Rusev.
Yes.
On TMZ.
I like him. It's Rusev Day.
I didn't know you had such good pipes, Mark.
Hey,
anyways.
Remember that time he came out
Mark.
In a tank at WrestleMania?
Mark.
That was a lot of fun.
Mark.
I think I fight that year.
Mark. I don't have much time. Mark!
Oh, Bray Wyatt.
Mark.
Well, that guy really went to shit, didn't he?
Mark.
Yeah?
He recently did an interview with TMZ. I don't know if you've heard it.
I can't stand TMZ.
But there are some in the office.
It's like us today for people who can't read.
People in the office are wondering if it may have potentially upset you at all.
Let me ask you something, John. You are in a new movie called Blockers. What does that mean? What does Blockers mean?
Well, there's also in the logo, there's a chicken above it.
Oh, chicken.
A
blockers.
Male chicken.
I really want some chicken tonight.
Mark. Did you?
Michelle McCool. Hold on, John. I got to go. I got to talk to Michelle about dinner. Like, Michelle, fire up the spit on some chicken and stay the hell off Twitter.
So apparently Undertaker wasn't offended by it.
No, apparently not.
Yeah. I mean, we watched a bit of the Rusev thing. Is it like he was cutting a promo?
Yeah, dude. Rusev's hilarious. Give me a break. God, you know, nothing. You don't have to be so damn reactionary to everything WWE.
Well, here's the thing, though. Okay, say that interview happened, and like instantly pulled for match is Rusev. Why not call up Mark Calloway and settle it before you pull him for a match and then put him back in when you find out, oh, yeah, Undertaker, he's not offended by Rusev essentially cutting a promo to TMZ.
Your carny roots are showing, WWE. Your carny roots are showing. That's the problem. Every once in a while, WWE will show their carny roots. They act like they're still a freaking, I mean, I guess they are a mom and pop shop still, but still. Come on now. Do your due diligence. Make sure the old man isn't offended. Michelle McCool. Hey, that's okay, though. She's supporting her guy. That's good.
Yeah. But still, I mean, my bone of contention is like, don't pull him until you got your story all settled, you know?
Yeah.
Call up Mark. Say, Mark, is this an issue? If he says yes, then you address it. If he says no, and then you don't announce anything. The match just happens as advertised. There's not this weird 48 hours where Rusev's in the match and then out of the match.
Well, here's the thing. Vince doesn't really care about like what people think. And so I'm thinking that this might have been, they were like sort of setting an example Like, hey, we can change. We can do what we want when we want it if you guys stay, you know, get out of line. That wouldn't surprise
me. He wasn't out of line. He was just cutting. He was basically in character cutting a promo. That's what Lana wasn't. Lana had no accent until about three quarters of the way
yeah,
through.
Yeah, but you know, Vince, he wants people to act like The Undertaker is some actual demon from hell.
No, that's not true.
I mean, Vince, John Cena was out there talking about Undertaker working out on Michelle McCool's Instagram.
I know.
Called him. What did he? Did he call? Did he ever call him the bitch word? Did he ever say that about Undertaker? I don't think he ever said that.
Maybe he did.
I don't know. Anyways, let's answer some questions.
Yeah.
The good question here from the wonderfully named Jesse James Helsius. Would you ever show your impressions of wrestlers to those wrestlers if you had the chance? For example, would you show Taker your Mark Calloway voice?
You might get a kick out of that.
No.
No?
No. No. God, no. That's so offensive. Now, it's not offensive. It's tacky, I think.
Like, I'd agree with you with Baron Corbin. No way. No way with Baron Corbin.
Baron's the one guy I might consider. But no, man, no.
You don't think...
I'd have a hard time looking Baron in the face. And there's the possibility that could happen down the line.
I know. But like with Mark Calloway, it's just like you... I don't know. I mean, I think I think he would get a kick out of you talking as Mark Calloway and then going to Undertaker. That'd be funny.
Could you imagine
I'm not suggesting you do it.
Like you, okay, so let's say you're standing next to me, right? And we had this opportunity.
Yeah.
And I start doing it and you see the look on his face, which is a total no sell.
Yeah.
Right? You would probably be more, because I'm the one sitting there doing it looking like an asshole, but you're sitting there having a, it's always worse when you have to witness somebody else going through something.
Yeah, no, that kind of makes me want it to, that's why I kind of want it to happen.
You say that now, but in the situation,
no,
for reals, you'd be terrible. Like, this was a terrible idea.
I know. Is there any impression that we would do?
Oh, you could do Cena. You could easily do Cena to Cena.
No.
Oh, he'd have it totally sense of you because it's not bad.
No.
It's not bad.
It's just
robotic.
See, I don't think anything about The Undertakers is bad.
No. Cody once said that, you know, he doesn't really like when people come up and does his dad to him.
Well, that's
so I would totally not do that.
It's probably because everybody thinks they can do it and everybody does do it. It's probably just more. I don't know.
Well, he said. Well, his words were. He said something along the lines of, you know, to me, he's not a character. He's my dad.
Okay.
And that's tacky as hell.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
So I totally wouldn't do that. I'm trying to think if there's anybody. Who else do I do impressions of?
Jesse.
Oh, I think he'd have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I think Jesse Ventura has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
He couldn't. I mean, he has to have that conspiracy theory show back in the day.
Again, I'm not advocating that you ever do it. And maybe just the mystique of The Undertaker would just in principle would preclude you from doing it.
I would have to.
I don't know if he would like chokeslam
him. Okay.
On the spot.
All right. Well, no. It would have to be this sort of situation.
And it's never going to happen. We're never going to be in a situation where it could ever happen.
Oh, I wouldn't say never on that one. I would have said we never would have been in a situation to interview WWE wrestlers in the first place when we started this thing.
That's true.
It's highly unlikely, but I'm not going to say never. That being said, it would have to be at the tail end. I'll give you the situation where it is. At the tail end of a 30-minute sit-down podcast interview with The Undertaker, and you and I have both thoroughly charmed him.
Yes.
That's when we'd be able to do it.
Okay.
Because at that point, he's not going to care because he likes us.
Yeah. He'll recognize that we do everything in good fun.
Exactly. Yeah. If we just go up to him and say, hey, man.
No, I'd never advocate for doing that. That's a terrible idea.
Hey, can I do you?
For anybody.
For you?
Like, I'd go up to John C. and then start going, John, it's a pleasure to meet you. Never do it.
Hey!
Never do it.
You're not me.
It would have to be the right situation.
He would say, "What? I'm not you." Oh man. Anyways,
who do you think is more touchy about the Undertaker's legacy, Vince or the Undertaker?
Oh, Vince. Well, on probably Triple H.
Oh, maybe.
You know,
would you ever do Triple H to Triple H?
I would say at the end of like a 15-minute sit down. Yeah. Because I think he'd be cool. I think he'd be down.
Yeah. He seems to have a sense of humor about
himself. He seems to have a sense of humor. All the people he's imitated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What if we found out that Mark Calloway had a really good sense of humor about himself?
I don't know, man. It was still, nothing changes. It'd be 30 minutes, sit down, fill it out.
Yeah.
What would be really interesting if Baron Corbin had a really good sense of humor about himself. That would be interesting. If we could ever get him on camera to say, hey, you're not me and you're watching Going In Raw. That's so kind good. Of pinnacle. That's
yeah,
kind
I know,
of pinnacle.
I know.
You know. Anyways.
That's a good question.
No, that's a great great question. Because that kind of stuff might come up. Like that, it kind of worries me sometimes. Dynamite, at Dylan Dynamite T. What should Dean Ambrose do when he returns from injury?
Wrestle.
Well, okay, with you. What feud should he be in? Obviously, he's going to wrestle.
He'll probably get into something with Samoa Joe or someone from T-Bar because those are the guys.
Oh, you think he's going to be on SmackDown?
Well, he'd have to be if he's going to have a feud with Samoa Joe, won't he?
Well, you're the one suggesting he feuds with Samoa
Joe. Because they're the ones that knocked him out of action.
Oh, okay, all right. Storyline, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Rico Henry. Should EC3 start a faction with Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss?
No.
Why not?
Because Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss are on the verge of not being able to stand one another. If you're going to start a faction, do it with people who actually enjoy each other's company, not people that are about to fight.
No, man, you just stumbled onto something. That could be great. He comes in, hey, man, I really like the cut of your jib. I think you're both great. You guys can be...
You guys have a great car.
I consider you guys probably three percenters, top three percenters. Come with me and also, why are you guys fighting right now? Why are you yelling at each other?
Oh, this is competition. You like competition. Yeah.
And actually, okay, so with that in mind, I think that I like that. At first, I didn't like it, but him taking control of a faction that's on the verge of breaking up sounds kind of like very EC3-ish.
Could be. Jason Spann, who do you think has the potential to become the next big crossover star on the main roster, and who do you think has that potential in the NXT? Seth Rollins, I feel like, has crossover potential.
Yeah, you've said that before. I don't know if I see that, to be honest with you.
New Day.
Well, if factions are a thing in the world of mainstream celebrity, so acting or whatever, then sure. Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Maybe her. Yeah, I don't know. So many people that are getting into wrestling or that are in the WWE are into wrestling, you know?
What about NXT?
I mean, it's hard not to, I don't know. When you say mainstream star, I don't know, like, in terms of being in movies and stuff. I don't know. I could see Aleister Black being in some WWE productions.
What about Adam Cole?
Yeah. He literally looks like a freaking Hollywood actor. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could see that. Let's see here. If with I'm sorry, this exchange is great. El Ardilla or Ardilla. With Roderick Strong in the Undisputed Era, does that mean he left his on-screen family? Number one, his on-screen family is his actual family.
Yeah, his actual family.
And then Eric Nixon is back, says, yeah, but he gave them some sweet armbands to remember him by. That's pretty funny.
Joaquin Cardenas, if AJ and Kenny Omega switch careers and Kenny was the one who came to WWE in 2016 while AJ stayed behind, who would have had the better run so far?
AJ.
Yeah, because Kenny wasn't quite the Kenny Omega that we know until Wrestle Kingdom when he fought Okada. That's what really put him on the mainstream pro wrestling map.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. This is kind of a big question, though. Kenny Omega now or AJ Styles the day before he debuted at the Royal Rumble? Who is more well-known?
I would still say AJ was more well-known because he wrestled here in TNA for a number of years.
Right.
But I think in terms of buzz, maybe Kenny.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're maybe on equal footing. But you're definitely right about the buzz thing. Let's see here. Good question, Fonzie. Why does it appear the WWE is so gun-shy on forming true factions? And could there ever be a truly dominant faction in WWE with all the 50-50 booking we keep getting? I mean, Undisputed Era is definitely a faction at this point. When you have four people, that's definitely a faction.
Yeah.
Sanity, I'd consider a faction.
Yeah, NXT has always been much better about
factions than main roster. Main roster, for some reason, just seems so hesitant to actually run with any. We just saw with Balor Club. It seemed week to week they were a faction and they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, we had AJ with the club also back in the day. That was kind of a
That was more faction. Of a faction because at least they were hanging around together all the time.
But, I mean, the true test is going to be the four-person faction.
Yes.
Because, you know, that to me is more of a faction. But I don't know. I mean, the question is, why does it appear that they're so gunshot? I don't know.
All right, this is a weird question. It's from friendo Cody. Would you rather sweat maple syrup or have edible Twizzlers hair that will regrow every night? Give me the Twizzlers hair.
Wait.
You sweat maple syrup?
Oh, that's disgusting. You're sticky all the time.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Oh, you're so sticky.
Oh, here's another question about impressions. Justin Wern. What wrestler in any promotion do you wish you could do an impression of? I really want you to do Kane.
I know.
Kane, how about this? Would Kane you do like your Undertaker impression to Kane?
Yeah.
Okay. Just cold? No warm-up?
I'd go right up to him.
All right.
As long as it's before May 5th. Because he's running for office?
Yeah.
He can't really. I mean, he can't do anything but smile and shake my hand.
Yep.
He has to treat everybody like they're his best friend.
Like his constituent or potential constituent.
My constituent.
All right, that's good to know.
Cannon Grant says Aleister Black has new ring gear.
He's been wearing pants at house shows.
Well, I noticed that he's been doing that for months now, mm-hmm. kind of off and on, like sometimes silver. I absolutely says, well, his question is, who in your opinion is due for an updated look? Cannon might be my favorite impression, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, Steve.
Would you do that to him?
Oh, I've Snapchatted him his own voice before, because he'll Snapchat me. Like, he met Mick Foley the other day, and he met Conrad from the Bruce Pritchard show.
Yeah, something to wrestle with.
So all I send him all the time. Hey, Steve, Aleister Black has new ring gear. Next story. Who, in your opinion, is due for an updated look? I really wish that he would bust out the tights, the long pants.
I know.
On NXT TV. Mm-hmm. I really wish he would. I think they look fantastic.
Yeah, they do look really good. I'm trying to think of anybody that needs updated gear.
Lars Sullivan needs a denim vest.
Then he'll take the one Steve Cutler wears.
A blue denim vest.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Acid wash acid wash denim vest.
Wow, you're gonna make him far less.
How
cool.
do you not love Lars Sullivan's theme music?
Doesn't do anything for
me. Oh man, I love it. It's so great.
I mean, it's fine music for him. Just taken by itself doesn't do anything for me. Ramon Rakena M. Should wrestlers like John Cena, Randy Orton, or even Triple H, the guys with history in the company, hold the Universal Championship to elevate the belt's importance with the fans, plural, even though it is known that the belt is a top belt, it still feels unimportant itself? No, I just feel like the belt needs to be involved in some good storylines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, storylines elevate titles.
Yep.
Oh, friendo Cody. Would you rather your hands be 10 times bigger or your feet be 10 times bigger? Feet. Because my hands...
Oh, it'd be so hard to walk.
I know, but I need my hands for way more things than my feet.
I understand that.
You can just get modified shoes. It would be really hard. You probably need to be... Honestly, you probably need a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Your feet are 10 times bigger.
That's enormous. That's like as long as your leg.
I don't know
if you could walk.
You wouldn't be able to. I'd have them surgically removed.
Your feet or just the excess foot?
Oh, if I could remove just the excess foot.
Like, say there's 5 feet of foot you can get excised and just, like, reattach your toes to the end of what's left of your foot. I'd totally do that.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Whereas it seems like it'd be much harder. Because it kind of depends. Here's the thing. Is it proportionally your foot now just stretched out 10 times? Or if it's just, like, the meat of your foot from ankle to toes, is that 10 times larger? Because if it's the latter, then you could do that. But if the former, everything is just 10 times larger, then you're stuck with a foot 10 times larger. You can't just cut out a piece of foot and reattach toes.
No, listen, dude. Here's the deal. From your underneath your ankle, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like you have a scaling button where the foot goes. It's like foot's like this big, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know your foot's bigger than this, but it goes.
So it's proportional.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you couldn't really excise a chunk of foot out and reattach your toes because your toes would still be 10 times longer than they
were.
Well,
you'd have to have them construct some feet out of your foot. So I don't know how you could do it. Yeah, because the bones would be bigger. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You couldn't just do that.
Modern medicine does some miracles these days, so who knows?
Yeah. No, I'd be fine. I'm sure they can make some pretty good prosthetics.
Yeah.
You know.
Church Jackson, rank best flying elbows in WWE NXT right now. That'd be Kairi Sane, number one, right?
Or she's tied with Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, they're 1 and 2, or 1A and 1B, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else has been doing top rope elbows? I know Bailey does it. Or she did for a while.
Xavier Woods has a top rope elbow.
Oh, yeah, his is really good, yeah.
His is good.
Kevin Owens has been doing a Vader bomb elbow type deal.
Yeah, but come on, dude. Nobody beats Velveteen Dream and Kairi Sane. Nobody beats those. They're making it different now, you know? They're making it new and exciting, the elbow drop.
Mm-hmm. Greg Morris, power rank, top 5 Braun Strowman dream matches with any wrestler from any time period.
Bruno versus Lars Sullivan.
No, Braun.
Bruno versus Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman versus Farmer Brown.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman versus Lou Thesz.
You gotta say Braun Strowman versus Andre the Giant.
Braun Strowman versus Andre the Giant. That's number one.
Well, that's a good question. Liam Wagner, do you think they will name a title or tournament or something in tribute of Bruno Sammartino?
They should name a title after Bruno Sammartino.
Ditch the Universal title. That's the Bruno Sammartino Memorial World Championship.
Yeah. The Bruniversal title.
There you go.
Universal. We're still on Neville watch. Cerealis asks, do you think Neville's going to come back or he's going to wait out his contract?
Wait out his contract at this point.
Isn't that like a long time?
Yeah.
Who has a higher ceiling? This is from at UsedFood21. Who has the higher ceiling? Hey.
Hey.
Or Jinder.
Hey.
Yeah, me too.
Ricky Bob, are your impressions bad on purpose for comedic value, or are you super serious? There's a lot of questions about impressions today.
That's an oddball question.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes?
Yeah. For both.
To what are they? Are they bad on purpose?
No, they're not bad on purpose. We do them the way we do them for comedic value, but also we try. Are your impressions bad on purpose for comedic value, or are you super serious?
I'm not literally trying to replicate Baron Corbin's actual
voice. No, not
at all.
That one's not serious.
I'm not, yeah.
But you are trying to do a good, decent estimation of Mark Calloway and Undertaker.
I did the first time. Oh, so the Undertaker's voice, I think I have pretty good.
Yeah, I think it is pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think your Undertaker's really good. Your Mark Calloway's really good.
Calloway,
I think your Undertaker's great.
Calloway's voice is simply what I remember, but I'm making him more and more goofy every time.
A little bit.
Yeah, well, depending on the day.
This is more of the performance of what he's talking about versus actual voice.
Yeah.
Like. Your Jesse's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my Bret Hart's actually,
it's getting good too.
It's pretty spot on,
Yeah. What'd you do that to Bret?
Fuck no. I mean, he's not going to do anything, but it'd be rude.
It would be rude.
I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a jerk, people.
No, I don't want you to be a jerk. I mean, as funny as it might be for you to be in an awkward situation, I will also be there with you. And as much as I would like to say, oh man, that'd be entertaining to see Steve squirm.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Because whatever happens... Whatever you do, whatever happens to you also reflects on us.
Like, if we really wanted to at that 2K event that's in the intros, we probably could have, like, snagged an interview with Brock Lesnar. It just sounded like the most awkward thing ever because he was just standing there staring at people.
Oh, I know.
And Paul Heyman was being, like, in character rude to the interviewees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look, here's the thing, man. It sounds uncomfortable. I'm not looking to be disrespected. But yeah. I can't do anything about it because it's a bear that's disrespecting you.
I know.
If a giant bear is disrespecting you, you have to sit there and eat it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? And I know it's like all in good fun, kind of, but I'm not going to stand there while understanding the guy that I'm trying to like get an interview from literally hates where he literally hates being there, hates that he has to stand there next to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably looking at me like I'm an, like he just thinks I'm an idiot
mm-hmm.
and not worthy of his time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to talk to somebody like that.
I understand.
Give me AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Who's like...
Oh, man, he was the coolest.
The best person.
Sasha Banks. She was cool, too.
Oh, my gosh. She was great. Amazing.
Everybody
The Miz
was
fantastic.
To has been great.
Jeez. How would you open a conversation with Kevin Owens?
It would depend on the circumstance. The
red carpet thing was so...
Yeah.
Not conducive to, like, comfortability.
And like, what is he most like? You know, he's into wrestling. Obviously, it's what he does for a living. But he seems like a family man.
Were you ever big into video games?
So it'd probably be something like that, because that's common ground we all have. We're all parents,
right?
We can talk about .
So my favorite part of the Bobby Roode interview was talking with him about like his kids, like them playing the game and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we probably broached that with Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Being a dad.
I'm sure he hears the same questions a lot.
Yeah.
About wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, something that's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just typical interviewer. We're just like, hey, we're just going to have a conversation with you.
I like your impression of us as to, hey.
Hey.
Hey, I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Hey, let's just have a conversation about
I still have
work and trying to raise a family.
I still have PTSD over interviewing Charlotte.
We'll have another chance at that, maybe.
Just had, like, it was, I've never had a stroke. That's probably the closest I've ever been to having a stroke.
See, we've gotten through that. We got through it.
I'm just thinking she's sitting
there
thinking. We
have more experience.
Look at this fat idiot.
No, but it was great, though, because it was a moment that the ice was broken then. She's like, we all just took a breath, relaxed, and after that it was fine.
It was terrible. It was all bad, dude. Everything was bad. Anyways. That's it for the show.
That's it for the show.
We got our 55 minutes. We're good.
Cool.
Where's the music?
I don't know.
Hilton, do you have the music or what, man?
He's not here today.
Everybody keeps talking about push Hilton. There we go. There's some music for you. Thanks for watching, everybody. We appreciate it. Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.